Jesus, my only hope, the Saviour of the world, I pray that the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts may be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our Saviour, our Redeemer. Amen. Something I'm sure I ought to do much more often is apologize for my voice, but this morning I am suffering from the after effect of an upper respiratory tract infection, which sounds so much worse than a cold. Please turn to pages 1108 and 1109 of the New Testament section of the Pew Bibles. The reading which Hugo brought to us not long ago from Paul's letter to the Ephesians and chapter 2. The title of this sermon is Rich in Mercy. It's a phrase from verse 4. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. And to help focus our thoughts on this passage, I offer reflections on four phrases taken from it. The first is from verse 1, dead in transgressions and sins. The second is that phrase from verse 4, rich in mercy. The third is from verse 8, through faith. And finally, from verse 10, created to do good works. So four reflections, and the first two at rather greater length than the third and fourth. Dead in transgressions and sins. Words from verse 1. Paul's language to describe God's mercy is rich, but before he gets there, there is a darker picture for him to paint. Look at the dark words and phrases in the first three verses. You were, he says, dead in your transgressions and sins. You followed the ways of this world, of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, those who are disobedient, from verse 2, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, verse 3, and culminating in terrible words from verse 3, deserving of wrath. Paul lays it on with a trowel. What is Paul describing here? It's a description of humanity, a description of us without, outside Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the salvation which he came to bring. At the same time, it is a description of the very reasons that God, in his infinite love and mercy, sent his Son, Jesus, into the world. Did Jesus, the Son of God, come into the world because mankind was good and simply needed God's rubber stamp? Plainly not. Did he come into the world because mankind had a few imperfections here and there and just needed nudging to complete perfection? That is not the picture. The picture is darker than that. Mankind is full of transgression and sin. The world is one of war, of oppressive power, ethnic cleansing, murder in the alleged name of God, strife of every kind, greed and the love of money, the worship of self and material things, indeed the idolatrous worship of anything and everything except the living God. Might we perhaps sit back and say, well, that doesn't have a lot to do with me? Listen to the words of our Lord Jesus. He spoke them to his own disciples, and the context is the religious leaders who saw the disciples eating without the ceremonial hand washing they considered essential. They thought, therefore, that the disciples were defiled. And the words of Jesus are these. You'll find them in Mark chapter 7. What comes out of you is what defiles you. For from within, out of your hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile you. The depth and the breadth of human sin, small and great, the depth and breadth of my sin, the depth and breadth of your and my need before God, summarized in a few words by our Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder the psalmist prayed, and we sometimes pray with him, "Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you." Dead in transgressions and sins. Secondly, and to the title of our sermon from verse 4, rich in mercy. God, who is rich in mercy. The opening of the passage is full of the darkness of humanity, our terrible position outside of Jesus Christ and the salvation which he came to bring, dead in transgressions and sins, and deserving of wrath. But it was for these very reasons to this very world that God sent his Son. Paul's language is extravagant, and he says the same thing over and again in different words. God's great love for us, verse 4, rich in mercy, verse 4. He made us alive with Christ, verse 5. By grace you have been saved, verse 5. God raised us with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, verse 6. The incomparable riches of his grace and his kindness, verse 7. And it is utterly impossible for a preacher to do justice to the greatness of God's mercy, grace, and love. But here is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. In the face of human sin, the sin of mankind, in which you and I are included, in the face of that sin, God loved us very greatly and gave us, in his Son, Jesus Christ, his grace, mercy, love, and kindness. Let us make no mistake. This is God's love for sinful humanity. Quite plainly, mercy towards someone who deserves mercy makes no sense. It is justice rather than mercy, and it simply ceases to be mercy. But neither is the gospel God's mercy towards relatively nice, reasonably okay, respectable people. People who just need a bit of God's polishing up and smoothing out the odd rough edge. God's love, mercy, grace, and kindness are for sinful people, people in great and urgent need. They are for you and for me. Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 5, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The New Bible Dictionary definition of mercy, which is in our title for this morning, is compassion to one in need or helpless distress, or in debt and without claim to favorable treatment. And how well all this describes us outside of Jesus Christ, us in our sin, and how wonderfully God's mercy in his Son Jesus Christ, dying for our sins and rising for our justification, how wonderfully God's mercy answers our need. Dead in transgressions and sins, God rich in mercy, thirdly and more briefly, through faith. Verse 8, "It is by grace you have been saved through faith." What do God's love, grace, mercy, and kindness in Jesus call you and me to do? They do not call us to do nothing. They do not call us to shrug our shoulders and say, "Well, that's all right then. God is merciful, I'm okay. I'll just get on with living my life as I want to." All that God has done through his Son Jesus Christ calls you and me to faith. What is that faith through which you and I are saved? It is more than mere belief. James, in his letter, tells us that the demons believe and they shudder. Faith is taking hold of the outstretched hand of our Lord Jesus Christ, allowing him to raise us to new and risen life with him. Over and again, we see faith in Jesus illustrated, but I think never explained, but so many times illustrated in the gospel accounts. The woman with the issue of blood who touched the hem of the Lord's garment. The centurion who said, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed." One of the most striking examples of faith must be the penitent thief who hung next to Jesus on the cross. A bad man, a sinner, who thoroughly deserved, in the context of those times, his punishment. But here his repentance and his faith. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." There is faith. "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." There is salvation. There is mercy, grace, love, kindness. Dead in transgressions and sins, God rich in mercy, by faith, finally, and also fairly briefly, from verse 10, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Created to do good works. Paul has just emphasized in the words immediately before, in verse 9, that good works cannot and will not ever save us. That salvation is by grace and not by works. But he immediately goes on to tell us that good works will follow faith in Jesus Christ as night follows day. Not only that, but God has already prepared good works in advance for you and me to do. Again, God's mercy, grace, love, and kindness in his Son do not call us to an armchair. They do not call us to a life of ease and comfort and pleasing ourselves. They call us to lives of humble service, serving our Lord Jesus Christ, serving our fellow men and women, serving one another. I think it should encourage us to know that if God has, in his mercy, taken us into his kingdom, that he has stuff for us to do. He has already prepared those things for us. There is stuff for us to do. So let us be serious and urgent about God's mercy in Jesus Christ, God's love, mercy, grace, and kindness. The issues are far too serious for us to, as it were, regard Christianity as a hobby or something which is a part-time occupation. Let us, following the woman with the issue of blood, following the centurion whose servant lay sick, following the thief whose earthly life ebbed away on a cross, let us put our faith and trust fully and wholeheartedly in Jesus Christ to save us. And let us rejoice that God has work for us to do in his service. So may we, each one of us, find salvation, joy, and peace in Christian faith and in Christian living. Amen.